title insurance. What the heck is it, and why is it so important for you to have it? We're going to talk about that next.
You're about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
What do you seem to understand? I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it! You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a fabulous Monday edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California. Member of the National Association of Realtors, please don't hold that against me. Welcome, everyone. What is this? Is this week three or week four? I can't even remember. So far, so good. Still haven't heard anything back from Blog Talk Radio about reclaiming my RSS feed, which has kind of put a lot of things on hold. I don't want to invest a lot of effort into pointing folks to iTunes until that's worked out, because if I do end up having to create a new page on iTunes for a new show because of this RSS thing, it'd be real stupid to jump in there and start marketing the heck out of things. We are, in fact, going to talk about title insurance today. You know, it amazes me, you know, doing this all the time, you assume that some of these things that are pretty much a fundamental part of the business, everybody knows about. But of course, that's not true. So we're going to go ahead and do a quick review of what title insurance is, cover a very bizarre story that was published on Reddit relating to someone who got two or three properties into their real estate investment experience without ever really knowing what it was, and then being surprised by something. So we'll get into that. What I'd like to start the show off with, though, is a call for a challenge. I want everyone who's listening to the show to – we talked about sort of that very first thing. You got to get over that alpha fear, that alpha thing that keeps you from moving forward. And remember, we're not talking about the typical easy-to-identify stuff. Go back and listen to the show if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But the alpha thing, the alpha blocker, which is what I've named it just because I thought alpha and omega, and alpha is the beginning. And I think that one of the first things you need to do is identify what that alpha is. If you're not moving forward, if you're not achieving your goals, you've got an alpha. If in a really quick assessment of all the reasons why you do and don't do things, you're finding plenty of reasons to not do something, you've got an alpha. So go back, listen to the show, then come back and listen to this show and catch up. But what I'm going to suggest is once you've kind of figured out what that alpha is, or let's say you haven't figured out what the alpha is, but you've decided, forget it, whatever part of me is making me decide not to move forward, I am going to make an effort to move forward. I'm going to start at least going through the motions of achieving my goal. So here's what I want you to do. Now, I'm motivated by this because I'm going through the exact same struggles you are. I'm not claiming that I have all the answers for all this stuff. I am saying that I have watched people who have managed to achieve success by embracing a lot of these ideas. I know that successes I am experiencing now come from that, whether you want to talk about my investment property in Hawaii or you want to talk about, you know, other things in my life that have absolutely nothing to do with maybe making money, but just making a better life for myself, all come from sort of embracing this idea of taking those first steps. So what I want to do is suggest everyone figure out something. I don't care what it is. You can start smaller, right? You don't need to start with that $400,000 real estate investment. You can start with something in your personal life that you want to get control over. So here's the challenge. I want you to figure out what needs to happen on a daily or three times a week basis in order for you to start making progress with your goal. Now, One thing I've talked about on the show before is I'm an overweight guy, so I am now working on that. I decided to take my own advice. One of the things that always, you know, we all come up with alpha reasons not to do things, which sound like really good reasons and even noble reasons, but end up really just being excuses. So one of my things was I don't have the time. I'm a busy guy. You know, I am out there trying to make ends meet just like everyone else is, and I have a lot of different things going on, and I simply don't have time to do it. So I created time. I created time by adding an hour to how much I stay up every day, and that's how I did it. Another way you could do it is shave off something else and give that time to this new effort. But I want all of you to do it. I want you to quickly figure out what you need to do. And if you don't know what you want to do, then I want you to shave off 30 minutes a day to sit down and think about what it is you want to do. What is the thing that will help you achieve your quan? If you want to find out what I mean by that, again, check back to the shows. There's actually one titled something with quan in it, and you can figure out what I'm talking about. But I want you to start the process of figuring it out. Don't let anything stop you. Don't say, I don't have the skills. We can always find people with skills. Don't say, I don't have the time, because you can simply go to bed 30 minutes later. I don't want any excuses. I want you to sit down and figure out what would be your ideal day that you spend on – what would be your ideal typical day that you go through to do what you do for a living. Figure it out first. Maybe just having the vision is enough for you to then find the conviction to keep going, or to expose your alpha blocker or whatever else is in the way and move on from there. So I'm gonna be doing the same thing. I think I'm a little bit further along because I think I've identified where I want to go. Frankly, this show plays a huge part in that. So I'm all about making this show useful for you and providing value. And that should, if that's something that you are thinking about, right? And in my mind, the only way you can ever succeed in something where your success requires other folks buying in or participating or accepting or consuming what it is that you're putting out, you need to provide more value than what it takes the folks to participate, right? So that's my goal, and I'm going to be pushing for that, and I've got kind of a neat to-the-horizon plan for the show. Really kind of pissed off this RSS feed thing is holding me back a little bit, but you do what you can do, and the thing is to focus on that, the things you can do. There are certain things in the universe you can't change. There's only 24 hours in the day. You know, when the sun is out, it's daytime. When the moon is out, or when there's no sun out, it's nighttime. There are certain realities that you're gonna have to work within, but that's a pretty broad canvas on which to define where you want to be. So that's my challenge to everyone listening. If you're not on that path, if you haven't figured out what that thing is, and you've sort of worked out a way to move towards it, I at least want everyone listening to the show to sit down and think about if there is a thing that you need to be striving for. What is it? It's going to be different for everybody. So just put some time in. Just start investing 30 minutes. If you don't have 30 minutes, start with 15 minutes. Sit down for 15 minutes. Do whatever it is you need to do. You can simply write a letter to yourself from the future saying, here's what my life is like and ain't it grand. Or you could do a good reasons and bad reasons list if you want. The reasons to do something and the reasons not to do something. Maybe that'll help you figure out what your alpha is and get past it. Just do something. Half of this is going to be just figuring out what it actually is that you want and what you feel like you need, what needs to be part of your life to make you feel like you're moving in the right direction. So I want everyone listening to take that time out and jump in both feet and just start doing it. It's not going to cost you anything. It'll cost you 15 minutes, maybe a little ink if you're really not into ink and pen. Maybe you run Evernote and start making notes on the things that you like. And you know what? That's what works for me. If we want to share tools, whenever I come up with a cool idea, it goes into Evernote. Whenever I find a website that really pushes a button with me, save it into Evernote. You can put your Evernote on your phone. You can have Evernote on your desktop, Evernote on your laptop. Evernote can be on everything. You can even use it to save audio. So if you don't want to use that goofy little keyboard, you can create an Evernote that is based on an audio file. Do that. No excuses. There's endless options on how you can capture your thoughts, capture your feelings about where you want to be, and start coming up with a plan to get there. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm hoping to find a path for everyone so that they can reach the goals that they're trying to achieve in life. So hopefully we'll get to some folks and we'll make that happen. All right, so let's talk about title insurance. This one has always sort of fallen off the radar for me because A, it's so common, it happens every time, and B, it seems so obvious what it is. But I came across this really interesting article the other day. Actually, I think I came across it this morning, about a user on Reddit who had published a question. And the question was, whose fault is it if I find out about a $5,000 lien one day before closing? Now, before we get too much into the story, what I'd like to do is start with what is title insurance? Well, okay, the word insurance is right there. So you would, if you assume it's there to compensate you if something bad happens, just like car insurance, if your car gets dinged up, damaged, blown up, gets swallowed into a gate of hell, you have insurance, and that will replace the car. It will make you monetarily sound again. It'll cover your losses, right? Well, that's what this kind of insurance does, but it just does it as it relates to your title to the house. And you think, well, the title of the house, if I buy it, I get a piece of paper that says I own it, and that's it. Well, no, that really isn't just it. Now, and I don't know how anywhere in the country you could get as deep as this user on Reddit did and not know what title insurance is. But you know what? This is I get a lot of questions that come to me from Trulia and Zillow that all are like this kind of stuff, where one of my thoughts is, how did their real estate agent not give them a lowdown on what title insurance is? How did their lender not give them a lowdown on what title insurance is? Wherever they had the title, wherever they did the escrow, how did they not tell them about title insurance? And there's other weird things in this story that sort of make you wonder, because he indicated he did have a line item for title insurance apparently on one of his transactions. So I'm not totally sure about what's up with this guy or where he is, because I've never known title insurance to be optional if a bank is involved. If a bank is involved, they're not going to loan until they know you've got clean and clear title to the property. So let's get into that a little bit. We'll probably save this little example thing from Reddit for a little later on. But I wanted to cover sort of the basics of why it's important, of why title insurance is important, and what it covers you for. So let's go over the reasons to get title insurance. Number one, a fire destroys only the house and improvements, the ground is left. A defective title may take away not only the house, but also the land on which it stands. Title insurance protects you as specified in the policy against such a loss. Now, this is coming from, I think I got this from Chicago Title. That first one kind of confuses the heck out of me. I'm not real sure what the heck they're talking about there. Which I guess what they're saying is, if it burns down, somehow that has to do with the title. I'm not real sure what the deal is, and I feel stupid for not knowing that, but there it is. The rest of these I know, so I'm good with. Number two, a deed or a mortgage in the chain of title may be a forgery. So somewhere down, it could leapfrog owners. Let's say someone sold the house in 1995, and the title was forged, or the title at that time was a forgery. They're not the right person signed. Maybe it's a situation where the person was having difficulties writing, and a family member wrote for them, and somehow they managed to not get it notarized, or the notary allowed it to happen. Who knows? But then let's say someone who survived that person says it was a forgery. Well, that's a cloud on your title. Now someone has a claim on your title. So to cover any potential losses from that, if someone were to find, yeah, you know, you don't have clean and clear title to that property, the insurance would cover the monetary loss for you. Number three, a deed or a mortgage may have been signed by a person underage. if someone isn't the age appropriate, and then, you know, my understanding is it's at least 18. There may be some places where it's 21. It may be different in different states, so you'll need to know what goes on in your local area. But it will protect you against someone who signs who's underage. A deed or a mortgage that may have been made by an insane person or one otherwise incompetent. What's interesting about this is they can be sane or at least not declared incompetent at the time that they signed. But what if they're declared incompetent within a certain amount of time after signing? That I've heard of court cases where that came up. A deed or a mortgage may have been made under a power of attorney after its termination and would therefore be void. So in other words, the actual owner had put power of attorney in someone else's hands, and 3 days after that power of attorney expired, they had signed on that person's behalf. A deed or a mortgage may have been made by a person other than the owner but with the same name as the owner. So John Smith owns the property. There's another John Smith who they got to sign, but he wasn't that John Smith. He was a different John Smith. Number seven, a testator of a will might have had a child. So the person who created a will might have had a child born or adopted after the execution of the will, a fact that would entitle the child to claim his or her share of the property. A deed, number eight, a deed or mortgage may have been procured by fraud or duress. Number nine, title transferred by an heir may be subject to a federal estate tax lien. Number 10, an heir or other person presumed dead may appear and recover the property or an interest therein. Number 11, a judgment or levy upon which the title is dependent may be void or voidable on account of some defect in the proceeding, or the right paperwork wasn't filed, the right person's permission wasn't received, those kinds of things. Number 2, title insurance covers attorney's fees and court costs. Number 13, title insurance helps speed negotiations when you're ready to sell or obtain a loan. Number 14, by insuring the title, you can eliminate delays and technicalities when passing your title on to someone else. Number 15, title insurance reimburses you for the amount of your covered losses. Number 16, a deed or mortgage may be voidable because it was signed while the grantor was in bankruptcy. That was a big, we had a few of those back in the last downturn. Number 17, each title insurance policy we write, the Chicago Titles policy they write, is paid up in full by the first premium for as long as you or your heirs own the property. Number 18, there may be a defect in the recording of a document upon which your title is dependent. Claims, number 19, claims constantly arise due to marital status and validity of divorces. Only title insurance protects against claims made by non-existent or divorced wives or husbands. Number 20, many lawyers in giving an opinion on a title protect their clients as well as themselves by procuring title insurance. Number 21, over the last 24 years, claims have risen dramatically. You know, and that, and don't forget that this also just covers any liens against the property. It's designed to find liens. So if there's a mechanics lien on the property, if a homeowner was getting work done by a contractor and they didn't pay the contractor can create a mechanics lien, which is a cloud on the title. And you may end up with title to property that has that. You would, with mortgage insurance, with title insurance, be covered for that. Mortgage insurance is a different thing. So it's absolutely, I think, a very important part of any transaction, whether you're paying all cash or not, but it's optional if you're paying all cash. You know, it's one of those things that's like fundamental protection. You know, everyone goes out and pays their earthquake insurance or their flood insurance and all these other things. But I'll tell you one thing, that's the a insurance policy you are more likely to exercise than either of those would be title insurance. You know, I haven't knock on wood, I have not had a client have a problem with this. But you know, every client I've ever had, we got title insurance. I don't think I've, even in the craziest transactions I've ever done. I mean, I've done some crazy stuff in the Santa Cruz Mountains years ago when I was working that side of the hill. And I tell you, there's some goofy property in those Santa Cruz Mountains. And I can't think of a one where we didn't do title insurance. It's already got enough weird on it to make anyone think twice about going through a transaction without getting title insurance. So with that in mind, and knowing all the different ways that title insurance protects you, all the various ways, title insurance can give you a little bit more peace of mind and cover you in case something really bad happens with the chain of title to your property. Let's go ahead and jump into this bizarre little Reddit post that I'm looking at right now, and I'll read to you his original post here, because I'll tell you, I have no idea where this guy could be that he could have gotten here. I'm quoting now from Reddit. Whose fault is it if I find out there's a $5,000 lien one day before closing? And this is still quoting. This is a short sale that I'm buying. I was so happy to finally close on this house because you all know short sales take forever. 24 hours before closing, my agent calls me to tell me there is a $5,000 lien, seller's credit card debt. So apparently the credit card company had put a lien on the seller's home that I must pay before closing. He used very high pressure wording, like, I think this is still a great deal, even if you pay off the $5K. If you walk, the price will skyrocket as it goes into foreclosure. You'll lose your earnest money and appraisal fees if you walk. And he's putting those in quotes. Apparently, that's exactly what his realtor told him. My agent knows I'm a noob investor, and I wish he suggested doing a title search way early on in the process. I only found out about the title searches after panicking and Googling liens after I got off the phone with him. Should I get a new agent for the next house I buy, or am I the dumbass here? Maybe a little of both, I think, would be the conclusion to come to here. Now, first, how he would lose his earnest money and appraisal fees, I don't know. If there's a $5,000 lien, that would mean that the loan would not come through. And I realize this is – but by if it only came up the day before, then the loan would have already been funded, right? Because the loan gets funded typically 2 days before close of escrow. So in other words, the money is in the escrow account, and it's really just a question of distributing the money. So I guess in this particular – and how this only happens at this point is a scratcher. So here's typically how it works. At least this is how it works with my clients. First, we get a preliminary title report, and that's usually within the first couple of days of opening escrow. And it's very canned. It's very off of an automated system. It's not like someone went out and scoured everything. But it's you know, it's an initial title report to give you a really quick, broad understanding of the – current status of the title. But then the rest of the title search is done fairly early on in the process. And in all of the transactions I've done, the bank gets a clearance from title before they'll fund. So what happened here? Granted, this is Reddit, and the craziest crap you've ever read comes out on Reddit. So I don't – maybe someone was just making something up. This is absolutely a very real, for instance, situation. But for it to happen literally 24 hours before close of escrow is a bit wonky, to say the least. It almost never happens that late. Now, if I had weird title things crop up sometime during the process, yeah. But we've typically managed to get it settled mid-escrow. I've never had anything like this pop up right in that last week or – right there 24 hours before I'm supposed to be giving my clients the keys. So number one is I'm not really sure about how that situation even came about, because in this particular scenario, if this was a typical transaction, this person indicated in a later post that they were putting 20% down and getting an 80% loan. So, you know, there was a bank involved, so I'm not real sure how this is even where it is. Did the agent screw up? Yeah, the agent screwed up. The agent screwed up because it sounds to me like there was something weird in terms of what's up with the title insurance. Now, the title insurance only protects you after the close of escrow. It's initially set up to protect the bank and to protect you if there's no bank involved, just so you can get a nice clear idea of what's going on. But part of the process is discovery, right? So normally if they do their due diligence and they find everything up front, you may find stuff. You may find liens. I've found liens. We've found mechanic liens. We've found other things. But in every case, we've simply referred it back to the seller, and they need to take care of their own debt. On occasion, a seller will push back and say, well, you know, we'd love for the buyer to take on part of this or all of this. And we usually respond with, go to hell. This isn't our debt. It's your debt. If it was a situation like this where it's a short sale, they probably have no ability to pay it. So then we'll usually talk with the bank and say, in order for this to clear, you know, it has to come out of what you're getting. And, you know, that's doesn't always happen. Sometimes they'll split it, and it's a big organization, so sometimes you can't get responses in a timely enough fashion so you can stick with your original closing date. It sounds like from a later post from this person that the foreclosure process was literally days away from starting. So in this particular case, the realtor telling them that $5,000 may be the only way for this to happen, it may not be a lie, but the part about the price skyrocketing and what goes into foreclosure, I think is crap. I don't know where this is, but it sure does. If there's still short sales happening, it sure doesn't sound like the Bay Area. So I'm not so sure that it would go for more through a foreclosure auction process. In fact, the odds are that it won't, simply because at a foreclosure, you got to come up with the cash. And that's usually a much more involved process, and it almost always results in the property selling for less than what any short sale price that would have been negotiated is. So that's something to take into account. The other thing to take into account here is that this agent should have written this offer so that it protected the interests of their client. Now, this is obviously backseat realtoring, but when I write stuff like this, I make it real clear if anything relating to financing doesn't come through, my guy gets to walk away from the deal unharmed. So, you know, and there may have been an addendum with this. I know a lot of banks will require a short sale addendum that will often put the buyer on a hook a lot more stringently relating to losing their earnest money. They absolutely would lose their appraisal fees if they backed out, of course, but it's the earnest money that's usually the bigger concern. So that may be a thing that they had to do. Again, if an honest conversation was happening between the real estate agent and this buyer, these are all things that wouldn't be mysteries to them. The conversation would have happened about this clause that they want you to accept in this addendum for a short sale means these things. I mean, I have these conversations every single time. And they're all different, right? Every bank seems to have their own flavor of addendum. So it's not like I get to learn one form that applies to every bank. It's typically different for every bank. I've even seen some banks that have more than one variation on it. So if he went through and explained this to his client, this should have been absolutely clear that this was a risk he was taking. I am all about – I'm the dude who feels around for the landmines, right? You know those creepy old World War II movies where a guy's – he's got his bayonet out or he's got his K-bar knife and he's poking at the dirt in front of him looking for mines? That's part of my job. It's so that you – the guy behind me, my client, won't step on any of these things. So – it's absolutely imperative that every step of the way, when you're asked to sign something you're making a commitment related to, that you know what the effect of every single thing is in there and what its effect is under great circumstances all the way down to horrible circumstances, right? You want to review the best and worst case scenarios with every one of these things relating to how it affects your potentially your title, how it affects how you own the property, how it affects the process of purchasing it. And particularly when you get into something in a short sale where wonkiness is to be expected, absolutely this guy did not have a real estate agent who I think was giving them the information they needed. Or maybe he's right and he is the dumbass here and his realtor did tell him all this stuff and he just doesn't remember it or doesn't recall or was drooling on himself when it was being explained to him. Should he get a new agent? If what I'm saying is true, yes. If what I'm saying relating to it being the fault of his agent is correct, then yes. If it really is more him not paying close enough attention, then it may not help. Not knowing the specific numbers, I don't know what my advice would be. It's $5,000, and in my marketplace, $5,000 is, I'm going to be honest, it's not a lot of money. So it would be totally makes sense to say, just pay the $5,000 and let's move on. I think in this particular case, I probably just to give you some tips, right? I would say ask the agent to pay part of that $5,000 out of his commission. What else? Anything else I'd do here? I'd be willing to move on to the next deal if it's that big of a deal. I mean, if we're talking about a $50,000 house, right? I wouldn't pay the $5,000. That's a That's a huge chunk of that's a 10% bit of the house. I mean, that's a big deal. Then there's lots of actually really good questions that are actually kind of stunning. How on earth did you get this far without a title search? Why wasn't that done when you went into escrow? It was, I'm assuming. They assume he's paying cash for this to possibly be an option, but he's not. He responds with, I have no idea how it went this far. I didn't even know what a title search was until this issue came up and I Googled it. I'm not paying in cash. I'm doing 20% down and borrowing the rest. My HUD statement includes $700 title insurance, so he's paying it. He's paying for title insurance. But of course, title insurance is to protect you once escrow closes, once you have title. It's that's the point, right? Well, you don't have title while you're still in escrow. So when these things come up during escrow, it doesn't protect you during the escrow process. It protects you once you've gotten title. It's basically them saying, we have done our due diligence and we have researched the title and we are confident that you have clean and clear title. If you don't, here's a fee for insurance that you pay one time that for the entire time you own this property, we guarantee your title is clean and good and we will reimburse you if that's not the case. But the whole point is to do this research during the escrow process. It's just bizarre for it to pop up one day before close. He says, this came up on a Wednesday. Closing was to be Thursday. Seller's lender approved it because the seller had been making payments for 15 years, so they didn't have much left to cover. I think my agent is just trying to get me to close so he can get the commission, he thinks. That still doesn't make any sense. If a credit card company has, regardless of how many years they've been paying, it doesn't matter. There was a lien created on the property. That's what's important. Where it came from, how many years they used to pay on it, makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. It's the fact that a lien was created by a credit card company, and the bank would not give, frankly, two craps about how long they'd been paying it, about whether or not they would end up funding the loan. Unless this debt, this credit card debt, and that doesn't make sense either, was with the same bank. So that just sounds wonky. He's the seller's lender approved it because the seller had been making payments for 50. I don't understand who's lending this. The sellers, okay, the short sale people. So the bank involved that signed off on the short sale approved the short sale. I don't know. The only thing that bank would approve would be the amount of the short sale. They'd have absolutely nothing to do with the lien. So I don't, unless his original loan. So maybe this thing predates his original loan. I don't know. That's just bizarre. But anyway, it goes on, and there's some actually interesting things that get mentioned off and on here. A few goofy ones where people kind of go off the rails and don't seem to get what the hell's going on. But it's actually kind of cool. I'm actually thinking I'm going to start participating in this particular Reddit. It's the real estate Reddit, and it seems like a place that makes sense for me to hang out. It's always seemed like the Wild West to me, and dang if I'm not attracted to the whole idea of participating in the Wild West. So maybe you'll see me poking around on there. I'll go ahead and create an account right after this show, and it'll be Rebel Broker something. So maybe we'll bump into each other there as well. All right. So I hope that helps. You know, title insurance is so vitally important. I would really question the motivations of anyone who would suggest you don't get it. It doesn't just protect you against any problems. Even if your seller tells you, you know what, I have no liens on this. There's nothing else encumbering this property. You are absolutely clear. They may not be lying to you. They may not be pulling one over on you. But what about the person they bought it from? Once it sells to you, their title insurance is no longer in effect. They bought title insurance for the life of their holding of title. So in other words, if that person before you got title insurance, that's not your opportunity to say, oh, well, great. So I can totally skip the title insurance because the person before me got it, so I'm covered at least up to them. Nope, not the way it works. Once that previous person ends their title on the property, all their coverage goes away. Poof, it's gone. So if someone from 15 years ago pops up that claims to be able to cloud your title, you have to have your own protection in place or take on the legal consequences. And that can be a really expensive fight. So don't think of title insurance as an option. It's absolutely something I think everyone should get. It's just smart business and it's just It's just plain smart. So I hope that helps. I think we'll call it at that, folks. If you'd like to get in contact with me, there's a variety of ways to do it. Probably the best place to get started is over at therebelbroker.com. I had a few people respond with, yes, please do a YouTube cross post of your shows. Kind of surprised at that. With all the times I've asked folks to give me feedback on what's going on with their successes and failures, the thing that gets you to message me is, will I put this thing on YouTube? So it will happen. I just need to work it out and figure out how I'm going to set it up and make that happen. I don't want to be recording the video with the same computer I'm using to do the show at the time I'm doing it. So just because I don't want to have any effects on the quality. And I've noticed anytime I connect more stuff or do more things on the computer while I'm doing the show, it negatively affects the audio. So I don't want that to happen. I still want top-notch audio. Now that I've left Blog Talk and I don't have to worry about audio quality as much, I want to make sure to keep that as high quality as possible. So head on over to therebelbroker.com. You can email me. You can find my Twitter feed. You can find the Facebook page, which is now 100% dedicated just to the podcast. It is not shared with my real estate business anymore. There's going to be absolutely some show-specific, show-exclusive content that you're going to be able to access both through the website and get notifications about it through Twitter and Facebook. So make sure you're participating there. And please do subscribe in iTunes, even if you don't. Even if you never want to use iTunes, maybe you despise Apple and you never want to touch one of their pieces of software. If you want to help the show survive, head on over to iTunes, subscribe, write a review, and then never use your subscription. It will dramatically help the show, and I would truly appreciate it. So there's that. Consider it my Christmas present if you've been worrying about what to get me. I have enough ties, so we're covered. All right, folks, that's about it. Until tomorrow, I'll talk to you then.